Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. The flower calendar is located on the wall in the hall. Please take the time to sign up to provide flowers for the sanctuary. Men and young men, don't forget Thursday, February the 26th at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap men's meeting here at the church. Any other announcements? Any birthdays?
Miss Amy.
Miss Amy. Any others? Okay, well, let's sing happy birthday to Amy. All right, everybody in the key of G. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we do want to remember the Bond family today, the passing of Bond. So please remember that family in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day and the opportunity to gather today and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do just pray for Alice and Teresa and the rest of the Bond family, Lord, and the loss of Vaughn. Lord, we just pray that you will just continue to comfort them during this time of grief, Lord, and just bring them to strength. And we know you will, Lord, to get through it, Lord, and we just pray as a church family that we'll continue to remember them, Lord, and reach out to them and not only just tell them that we love them, show them that we love them. Lord, I do want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he stands before us and proclaims your word today, Lord. I pray for his voice today, Lord. I pray that you'll give him the strength, Lord, to preach, Lord, and to tell us what you have laid on his heart, Lord. But Lord, as we worship today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, I know that they are distractions all around, Lord, and things that maybe will distract us from our worship, Lord. I just pray that all those things will be removed today, Lord, and that we'll focus only on you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah.
Well, if you can, please stand this morning as we sing hymn 227. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Amen.
210, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Sweet. whatever he needs to proclaim your word as you require. Lord, we ask that you would bless the giver. We ask you bless what's given, and Lord, we pray that it'll be used to glorify your name. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Check this morning before I came, amen. Anyhow, good to see everyone here this morning. Great to have a great day. Today, as we finish up the book of Galatians this morning, I want to talk about how we're just going to look at two verses there at the end of Galatians and see how God had marked Paul. But God should have his mark on every one of us who claim the name of Christ. It's easy to get caught up in the things of the world, for our allegiance to shift from the Lord to the things of the world. But Paul makes a very interesting statement here. In verse 17 of Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Paul had been marked by the Lord. We're going to look at several different passages this morning to see how the Lord had marked him. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I can't remember it on Wednesday night or Sunday night, but anyhow, we talked about how Paul wrote with such large letters. And as he wrote, I gave us three examples or possibilities of why Paul wrote with such large letters. And one of them could have been from arthritis. As we'll look in our passage, we'll see that Paul, in one place, he tells he had been beaten five times with stripes. In other words, most likely, as most scholars believe, that was with a cat of nine tails that he was whipped with. Whether it was 39 single stripes or 39 times nine, it doesn't matter. Just think about your back being ripped apart by that. He was beaten with rods, he was stoned, and so all these things could have affected his hands, because our natural impulse when something is coming at us is to stop it with our hands. And so it is possible that Paul suffered broken fingers, broke bones from trying to stop these beatings or the stonings. It is possible because of the stonings that Paul may have suffered bad eyesight.
that's a possibility. And then, as I also said, that Paul might have been referring to the length of the letters he had written, trying to impress on the churches the doctrine of grace, and that alone, not by works of the flesh, but simply by faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Paul bore the marks of Jesus. He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Can we say the same thing today? That we literally bear the marks of Jesus Christ. Now, in our society today, it seems like most everybody has tattoos. If you do, fine. I'm not knocking that. I'm just simply saying I don't want any. God gave me birthmarks in places, but that's what he gave me, amen? Whether you have them or not, that's between you and the Lord. I do know what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Listen to what scripture tells it. It says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Now, you say, well, Brother Tim, you've been talking about in the book of Galatians that we are no longer under the law because this was given as part of the law. And you could very well be right. What I'm saying is that if God, and he did, okay, if God created us according to his will, and if God created us in his image, why would we want to deface that? That's just my opinion, okay? Here again, whether you do or don't, that's between you and the Lord. But why would God want us to deface his masterpiece? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now that word workmanship can also be translated masterpiece. When God created you, he created you and me exactly like he wanted us to be, right? So, if that is the case, we should treasure what God has given to us. There are marks, though, as a believer. There are marks that we receive from Jesus Christ. Those can be visible signs or marks that we receive. They can be invisible. But Paul says, listen, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul is closing out his letter to the church at Galatia. He's been talking about circumcision and uncircumcision, that what really makes a difference is the mark that God puts in our hearts. That changes us, that he takes out our heart of stone, gives us a heart of flesh. He takes and he puts his spirit within us. And because we have the spirit of God in us, which is something invisible, it should show up where? On the outside of us. Whenever God changes us, we have to realize that God changes our hearts, but he also changes everything else we do. Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. This, Paul often got into disputes with people he preached the gospel to. I can kind of picture Paul. I don't know how tall he was. I don't know him personally. But you know, some people that are short in stature, kind of like Benny Rooster. Y'all know what a Benny Rooster is? Always wanting to fight something. I could imagine maybe Paul was like that, and he didn't back up from nobody. He told them what the gospel was. He preached in love. He cared for people. He was deeply devoted for Christ, but it seemed like everywhere Paul went, people were against him. Should we expect anything different in our lives, that people are against us? Jesus made this statement. He said, don't, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, don't worry about when people hate you because they did what? They hated him first, right? And so Paul, it just seemed like everywhere he went, he was facing opposition to some people. I mean, that was just given. They were local traitors that he was opposed against, false teachers, the religious establishment, scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's look at some of these passages where Paul talks about the visible marks that were placed on him for the Lord Jesus. Not because he wanted these marks, God changed him, and because God changed him, he suffered for that. Now listen to what it says. It says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths more often, deaths often from the Jews. Five times I received 40 stripes minus one. In other words, each time was 39 times. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Night and day. I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things what comes upon me daily. My deep concern for all the churches. Paul saying, listen, all these things I've suffered, you think that made a mark on Paul? And Paul was arguing against these false teachers because they were talking about some little mark in the body. And Paul saying, listen, if you want to see the real proof of what following Jesus might look like, what salvation might look like, look at me. I'm the example. Look to my body. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Paul proclaimed, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God to save. He wasn't afraid to share the gospel with other people. But how often are we afraid to even speak up? Not to suffer physical marks, but because we're afraid somebody might not like us, or somebody might say something ugly to us. The word marks comes from the Greek word stigmata. And stigmata was used as a word to define people who were either branded, tattooed, or some cuttings in their body to mark them as a slave or servant. But, you know, Paul flipped that on his head kind of, and he says, I bear my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. In other words, he was saying, listen, this is proof of who I belong to. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul talks about the sufferings of Christ abound in us. What marks do we have on our lives, in our lives, on our bodies, on our bank accounts, on our anything? What marks has God placed on us for the gospel? Can people see the evidence of God's marks, visible marks on us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, listen to what Paul says here. He says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, for the word of what? The word of truth is the gospel. By the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Paul, if anybody could say, I gave it all. I gave it all. Oftentimes when our day doesn't go right, we want to give up on God. When things don't go right, we want to say, well, what's the use? Paul never did that. Paul suffered for Christ. Paul went through it. He didn't just want to do it for show. It was because God had placed his mark on Paul's life, and nobody could prove any different. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, he says, now rejoice in my sufferings for you. If how many of us would give up if we had to suffer for Christ? I mean, we live in a what we call a free country. We have the free right to assemble. We have the right to stand out here on the street corner and preach if we desire to do so, or calls us to do it. We have all these freedoms, and yet what do we usually do? Clam up. And yet, Paul oftentimes faced suffering for Christ. Suffering. People wanted to kill him. He said, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. The local body of believers, those who come together in the name of Christ, is what Paul suffered afflictions for. Yet many times if we stay up too late on Saturday night, we don't want to go to church on Sunday morning. And we suffer nothing in the overall scheme of things for our faith. Let me just ask a few questions. Have you ever been stoned for your faith? I haven't. Have you ever been beaten so badly and drug out of town and thrown in the ditch because everybody thought you were dead? They thought they won the battle, but Paul wasn't dead. Have you ever been whipped, beaten for your faith? Have you ever been imprisoned for your faith? Have you ever lost a friend for your faith? Have you ever been falsely accused simply because of your faith in Christ? Have you ever been denied a pay raise or a promotion at work because of what you believe? What marks in our bodies do we bear because of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, there are those visible marks that we've suffered for Christ, but what about in our personal lives? What marks do we bear? Well, you can't see them, Brother Tim, but they're there. I get that. But as we've often said through the study, whatever is on the inside of me in my heart should come out where? In my hands, in my words, what I say, what I do, who I love, who I, you know, all those things. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I know I use this verse a lot, But that's okay. It's in the Bible. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. In other words, there has to be what people might not see on the outside has to change me on the inside. I am a new creation. And if I am a new creation, that means that there's old things that got to go. Right? There are things that have to go in my life. I can't be around them. I can't do them. I can't say them. I can't think them. Because Christ has made an invisible mark. May not be apparent to people on the outside yet, but there should be a mark he's placed inside me. And all those old things have passed away, and behold, all the things become what? New. That there's a change that he brings in my life. And Paul, think about this. You think you're doing everything right, and you're riding down the road on a horse. And all of a sudden, a light blinds you. And it blinds you so bad that you fall off on the ground and you hear a voice from heaven, but you don't know who it is, but you know who it is. From that very moment, Paul's life, everything about his life changed. And can I tell you, that same should be the reality for us as believers. When Lord Jesus Christ gets a hold of you, there has to be a change. Paul didn't get back up on his horse and say, y'all need me to find more Christians, did he? He changed. He changed to where he knew who it was who was speaking to him. He knew who it was that blinded him. He knew who it was that he needed to follow. And yet, our eyes, we say, are opened, and many of us, like the scribes and the Pharisees, we say we see, but we really don't. Say, I'm saved. Let me ask you this. Are you growing in your faith? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we becoming more like him? Is there those visible and invisible marks that the Lord is placing in our lives? Is he separating us from the world and drawing us to himself? Or do we claim the name of Christ and run to the world? You see, it's a big difference. True marks of a follower of Jesus Christ is a changed life. I can't be who I used to be. I can't do what I used to do. What are some of those marks? Well, we've already covered them, but I want to just go back over it quick. In Galatians chapter 5, we find the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. And this is what he says. Start with the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, that's a mark, right? It's evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will what? We don't like to hear that because we want to do what we want to do. We want to live like we want to live. Ain't nobody going to tell me not to do whatever I want to do. The last phrase there says, those who practice, in order, it's one thing to fall off the wagon. Amen. It's another thing to stay off of. It's another thing to stay in the ditch instead of pulling yourself out and say, Lord, I forgive me. There is repentance. There is forgiveness. But those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom. I didn't say it. The Bible does, right? See, that's the marks of the world. But then there's other marks. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at verse 22 through 26. These are marks that should be in our lives, okay? These are the tattoos, the brands, whatever you want to call them. These should be evident in our lives. You might have more of one than the other, but all of these should be marks that Jesus Christ is placing in your flesh, on your body, in your heart, and in your mind. But the fruit of the Spirit, or let's change that word for this one in this sermon, but the marks of the Spirit, is first one is what?
Love.
Do I love others? Is there a visible difference in how I treat others and what I say to them? Let me give you a good example. I know today's a Super Bowl, but I ain't thinking about that right now. I ain't gonna watch it, amen? Let's say you go out after church and you go to a restaurant and the waiter's really rude and ugly to you and don't get your order right and brings you the wrong stuff. How are you gonna treat him? With love, compassion, or are you gonna be rude back? Joy. I'm thankful for this church because most every Sunday morning when I come in and talk to people, they got a smile on my face. Praise God, but there's sometimes you go into church and you see somebody look like they ate sour lemons, right? All puckered up, you know? Peace. Some people just want to stir things up. Amen? My Bible says in Matthew 6, blessed are the peacemakers, amen? All suffer. Are we patient with people? Are we kind to one another the way the Lord is kind to us? Are we good to people? Are we good to each other? Are we good back to the Lord because He's so good to us? Faithfulness. Are we faithful to our commitments, to our spouses, to our families? Because we live in a world today where if you don't like something, go trade it in. Amen? That's the mentality of it. Faith and gentleness. Are we gentle with all people? Self-control. So many of today's things that you see on advertised on TV is for impulse buying. That's why they've got networks dedicated solely to selling people stuff. And if you ain't got it on the TV, it's on your phone, right? It'll scroll through, see what we can buy next. They know that. They can try to control you with it. Self-control, but it also means to be in your right mind. So many drugs today are mind-altering type of drugs. Alcohol, dope, whatever you want to call it, same thing. He says, against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. So one of the marks that we should have as believers is that we're no longer alive to the flesh, to the desires. They might be there, but we have control over them because the fruit of the Spirit helps me control that. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and his passions, or with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. Because a lot of times, here's what happens. A lot of times, the Lord has done a work in us, and then somehow we think we're more spiritual than somebody else. Right? Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying. Christ in our lives should be making the marks in us that change us to be more like Him. I think about if anybody was ever done wrong, who was it? Jesus. And yet he didn't defend himself. He simply stated the words he spoke while he was on trial was, "It is as you say." When he was asked, was he the Son of God? It is as you say, you know. That was his defense. I'm telling the truth is what he was saying. He wasn't lying. He wasn't envious. He wasn't jealous. And he bore in his body the marks of God. He bore in his body the stripes we deserved. So I ask again, what marks do we bear in our bodies and in our lives that show who we belong to? You say, what difference does it make, Brother Tim? Well, I'm going to go through a few verses in the book of Revelation, okay? And I'm going to show you that there are those who will be marked by Jesus and the other ones are marked by Satan himself, okay? Revelation chapter 13. We'll start out with the ones that were marked by Satan. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the what? Mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. You see, there's going to come a time in this world when the Lord returns and raptures out the church, as I believe. There'll be those who remain who are going to go through great suffering. Who buy and sell are only going to be able to buy and sell if they have the mark of the beast on them, or the name of the beast on the mark of him on them. So it matters what mark you have on you. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of the torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here again, the mark. Revelation 16:2 says, so the first went and poured out his bowl upon earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast, and whose and those who worshipped his image. So here again, we find the word mark, the mark of the beast. Revelation 19:20 says, and the beast was captured, and with him the false prophets who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. It matters whose mark we have on us. Now, these next couple passages are going to be for those who have the mark of Christ on them. So let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Here's Jesus speaking, right? He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. These are the new names, the new marks we're going to receive from Christ himself. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12 says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. You see, what marks do we bear in our bodies? What visible marks are there that were a follower of Christ? What invisible marks are there on the inside of us that God has changed us, that he has put his name on us? Well, Brother Tim, I'm saved. Are you living it? I like the old old song we used to sing, there's a new name written down there. And it's mine. Can you say the same thing today? Can you say that I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus? If not, I encourage you, time invitation. Tim, I need to know. I need to know how I can be saved. For some of us today, maybe we need to say, I know I'm saved, but I've let the world mark me up. And I need to change and be all that God wants me to be. We stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your will be done. Lord, that we have heard your word, we've heard the truth. And Lord, the only way to be marked by you is to trust you as our Lord and Savior, to believe you are who you say you are, and that you have lived a perfect life, died on the cross, not for your sins, but for ours. And that, Lord, when we place our faith and trust in you, Lord, we do have a new name. And it's written down in glory. Lord, I pray that is true of each one of us here today. But maybe, Lord, we've been marked by you, but we just haven't been living it out. We haven't been showing those around us, the world around us, who we belong to. We've been covering it up. We've been putting a basket over the light, Lord, that you've placed within us. Maybe today, Lord, we just need to say, Lord, I'm tired of living like this. I want to love you. I want to serve you each and every day. Lord, if you'll just do your work in our hearts and lives, Lord, if we're obedient, Lord, I know that we'll receive a blessing from you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.